Good morning, and welcome to the Spirit of Grace, where God's Word and message are brought to you by Grace Lutheran Church in New Albany, Indiana.
Gospels according to Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John, who was in prison, heard what the Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one to come, or should we expect another?" Jesus replied, "Go back and tell John what you see and have heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the dead are raised, the deaf hear, and good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you come out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you come out into the desert to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Men who dress in fine clothes live in king's palaces. If not, then what did you come out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, for this is the one of whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare the way before you.' I tell you the truth, Jesus says, among those who are born among women, there has not risen one greater than John yet. Anyone who is least in the kingdom will be greater than that. From the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent men have been opposing it. From the time of the prophets until the law, they have all prophesied now until John. And now, if you are willing to accept it, John is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Word became flesh.
as we get rolling here this evening, certainly I'd encourage you to pull out your inserts and your outline if you want to follow along with that. You can use that. We're really going to be distinguishing ourselves, or looking at this idea of distinguishing ourselves, which means to stand out a little bit, of course. But let's talk about this fellow. This fellow was reported on in Oddity Central in January of 2017. He lives in Bangalore, India. His name is Benedict Jaba Kumar. I hope I say that right. But since 2012, he's been going out to the Outer Ring Road in Bangalore, the ORR, and picking up nails. As it turns out, he takes that route from home to work and work to home on a regular basis, and he began to notice that there were a lot of people, it seems, along that route that have flat tires. And so he began to notice even closer that there were always nails along that road. And just also began to notice it happened to be right there where a lot of these tire repair places were along the way. Yeah, imagine that. So he caught on, obviously, and when nobody else was willing or able to do anything, he just decided to start picking up the nails. And so, he started off by hand, but later on he came up with a little tool you can see in the picture, old fishing poles with magnets tied to the ends of them, and he'd go along and pick up the nails. And so this was his thing. He gets up at about 7 o'clock in the morning, and he spends a little time on the ORR, the Outer Ring Road, and he keeps picking up nails, and has been since 2012. And at last count, it was somewhere around 70 kilograms. Let's just put it this way, it's approaching 200 pounds of nails. You think they get tired of putting nails out. I don't know where they all the money to buy these nails, you know. But nails always picks them up, hands them off, and he keeps every one of them as a trophy. So he's got 2 5-gallon buckets full of these nails that he's picked up every single day since 2012. Now, nobody seems to notice until in 2015 someone comes along and does an interview. They ask him what he's up to, and he tells the story. And he goes on to say, at that point, I realized that nobody's been paying attention to me all this time. I've been on this busy, busy road picking up all these nails, and all these folks just keep zooming by and not paying any attention to me. And I never thought about it until this guy asked me about what I was doing. And I wonder, it's not a glamorous thing, right? Picking up nails, of course, almost no attention whatsoever, but he knows it's important. And he does so for the sake of his community. And it's not superhero stuff by his estimation or ours. Most just drive by the nails and expect someone else to do it, I guess. Or many hesitate to help because it's risky. Or maybe perhaps it just doesn't seem important enough to stop. Who knows why? But Benedict gets out there in his humble service, and we see him as a contrast, if you will, or someone distinguished in his community from all the others who just drive on by. As I think about this fella, I can't help but associate that with John the Baptist today as we look at Matthew chapter 11, where if we look closely, it is Jesus who distinguishes John from all the others. It is John the baptizer who ultimately stands out. He says, I tell you the truth, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John yet. Anyone who is least in the kingdom will do greater things than he. As we look, John is distinguished from all others, not because of his message. His message was not about the right clothes. Obviously, if you dressed like him, you would probably be scratching a lot because his clothes were made of camel's hair and were not very comfortable, probably. His message was not about his diet and how to eat right, because locusts and wild honey is not something that we run to the restaurant after church and go eat. You got some fried grasshoppers and a little bit of honey. You know, that's not what we ask for when we sit down at the table. And it certainly isn't about fine clothes, and it isn't about his placement in the desert. You like my church? Lots of sand and water. That's it. There's nothing it seems special about, but his message ultimately was not about the physical comforts or any of these things, but the gospel, about Jesus, about preparing the way for the Savior. And Jesus says, what did you go out to see? A reed planted by the river. You see a bunch of those in the Jordan, and they just kind of, at the lightest breeze, go back and forth. You know, if the wind of culture or the wind of change or the wind of whatever's popular, that's not what you came out to see. He's more like, a sturdy oak. It's planted by the river. He shall not be moved. We sing that hymn, right? Jesus says he's distinguished because this is the one that was spoken about in Malachi 3:1. I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare the way for the Lord. And so we have these things pulled out by Jesus. Now, I want you to note Matthew chapter 11, the conditions. John is in prison. Herod Antipas has put him there. And isn't it interesting that Herod Antipas is one who is blown and swayed back and forth by the winds of the times? He's a true politician in every sense of the word. And so in a whim, he, of course, we're told many things about this. As he sits in prison, he definitely wanted John killed, but we also know from places like Mark 14 that he knew John to be a righteous man. He also knew that John was a popular man, so for the same reason Jesus wasn't arrested amongst the people, but in secret, John was pulled in but not executed for fear of the crowds. And we also know that in John 6:19 that Herodias, his brother's wife, now his wife, wanted him dead too, but didn't have the power to do so. And of course it is John's message. It pulled him out, said what he did is he condemned the adultery that was going on in Herod's family. Go figure that, they were an immoral family to begin with. And so the story goes on. He's up against Herod, a reed blown by the wind, and in a party where Herodias' daughter dances a jig, he's so pleased with that, and in such an impulsive moment, he says, "On oath, I'll give you anything you want." And of course, she goes to mom, and mom tells her, "All right, now's the time. I want the head of John the Baptist." And after that, John was executed, much to the hesitation of this man. But you see him blowing him back and forth under the conditions, one thing after another, and finally he succumbs to having John killed. But Jesus distinguishes him as great because of his humble service to the Savior. It's his humility and his consistent message that ultimately does the trick. He did not perform a single miracle. He only spoke. He did not build anything. He did not get an Ivy League religious education with the Pharisees. He didn't wear fine clothes or live in palaces. He wasn't running in the circles of the elites. He just spoke the truth, and he preached the gospel in humility. And so in John 3:30, we have that wonderful passage that I'm so fond of, that I'm so grateful for, and that's, of course, John 3:30, "He must become great and I must become less," which is the whole point of being a Christian, right? The things that we do should leave the view of Jesus more than ourselves. If what we're doing is done well, Jesus is who people see. And so it is that John's purpose was to bring Jesus to the forefront. And whoever is least in the kingdom is greater than John. Because it's about highlighting our Savior and putting him out in front, not ourselves. Which is the contrast, isn't it? That's the distinction from our world. That's the key point. The world says, chase after yourself, feed yourself, do for yourself. Jesus says, do for me and you'll be great. And so we go to the second thought today. The contrast itself. How is one distinguished, at least in the kingdom, by being willing to pick up the nails that are going to cause the damage? By willing, without any fanfare or glory, just get out there and get the job done. And you know what I mean. There's a lot of little things that we do as citizens of our communities and as Christians that can make a big difference. And Jesus says, get out and do them. And tell people what your motivation is, of course. My Savior has done so much for me. And so we look at this a little bit, okay? To be like John, we distinguish ourselves from Herod Antipas, those like Herod the greatest father, those who think about themselves. We get out there and we pick up the nails even when no one else says anything or does anything. And understand this, the same person, there's a great distinction that comes about as you think about the kind of persons we're up against. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 highlights the man of lawlessness, which we all know is the Antichrist. This is the guy that is going to step up and do all kinds of bad things upon the world because of his selfish nature, because of what he is about himself. And it says even that he will use all sorts of displays of power and wonder, and I would suggest to you that he is able to fool many. I've given you a small list of things that he might be doing or what he is like, but I will tell you this. All you have to do is look at Scripture, all the bad characters of Scripture. All you have to do is look at the bad characters of history, and you can pretty much figure out who this guy is going to look like and what he's going to be up to. And ultimately, at the end, it's going to be about destroying the church. It's going to be about undoing the gospel. And it's going to be about hating you and loving himself. And so you look at that list. He's going to sow chaos because chaos is profitable. You can change the rules. People get nervous, fearful. You can change the rules there and do all kinds of things with chaos, right? If you're in a panic state, you might do anything. What happens if we lose our comforts? Well, I don't know. But he's going to go on to blame Christians for the problems, just like Nero did when Rome burnt. And then we go on to he's going to serve himself at the expense of others. We know this from the Pharisees and those like them, the religious groups. Anyone outside of those circles, of course, Jesus didn't count. And so they cast him off, or they tried to destroy him. He's most likely going to be rich and famous because, as we hear from Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. Dave Ramsey likes to quote that one. We also know, I would suggest to you, that he's going to be somewhat attractive in every way you can think of. He'll be popular and famous that way. He'll be people that are drawn to him. He may change the rules on a whim that suits himself. A man of lawlessness doesn't care about whatever establishments there are. He'll make it up as he goes, but ultimately in a way that will condemn the truth of the gospel and put Christians in hiding. He will be one who will pass irrational hatred like that of the Pharisees on, like they'd had for Jesus. They hated him without reason and crucified him because of it. He will be accomplished. He'll be an accomplished liar. He'll deceive many. He will be a smooth talker like the ones that Paul the Apostle was up against in 2 Corinthians. He'll be up against those kinds. And he'll be immoral as Herod, and he'll be as crafty as Jezebel. We know the type. All you have to do is read the Scriptures, and you can figure him out. And we know those bad characters. And by the way, I doubt that he'll be super obvious in the beginning of these things, because these folks tend to ease into these roles, and before you know it, people are captivated. And so we want to watch out for this. This is the contrast. This is what we distinguish ourselves from. But let me tell you the other side of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, which should give us a lot of reasons to hope and understand which side we are on. I like a little story that's told. Of course, this is an illustration that I found, but I like it. It allows me to get to the point here. There was a magician who was working on a cruise ship in the Caribbean. And because every cruise had a different group of people that would come on, he would do the same tricks over and over and over again, right? And the captain just so happened to have a parrot who would see these shows every single trip, over and over and over again, the repeat of these things. And the parrot, being the captain's parrot, began to reveal the tricks. "Look, he's hiding the flowers under the table," he'd say. "Hey, why are all the cards the ace of spades? Look, isn't that the same hat?" And so it went on. There's nothing he could do about it. It was the captain's hat, right? And he's really sort of contracted as a guest on this ship. Magician was furious, couldn't do anything, of course. And after a while, what happened is the ship sank. And the magician and the bird were floating on a piece of wood together, sort of, "What am I going to do about this?" Well, heck, the bird just let him go. And as they're floating around, one day, 2 days, 3 days, finally the third day, the parrot finally asks, "All right, I give up. Where did the ship go?" It's an illusion, right? Ultimately, what evil is, evil thinks it's smarter than God or the Word of God, and it's an illusion that they create, an illusion of its own grandeur. It's a trick. And in the end, what happens when the Lord comes in, they deny the reality of Jesus and the cross. They deny the resurrection. They deny the virgin birth. And they say, no, that's the trick. That's the illusion. This is Jesus. Jesus is the truth. And it's what we stand by. Now, I want you to look at 2 Thessalonians 2:8 and notice this very, very carefully, because it says a very in Scripture powerful thing. The man, the lawless one, will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy the splendor of his coming. That's the word of God. The truth shall set you free, Jesus said. And so he's overcome simply by the word and the preaching of those like John the Baptist. Those who proclaim the truth by doing those simple things, whatever they may be, who may proclaim the truth and the reality of Christ because the love of Christ is the real thing. And so it is ours to proclaim. As we look at it, the word of God is what distinguishes between the brood of vipers and the prophets. It is the one who that knows what sin is and what to repent from. It's the thing that says Jesus is Lord, and eventually Herod and Pilate and all the others will bow down and proclaim him as the Christ. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. And so it is that is the truth. In humility, John served the word, but what a powerful thing the word of God is. That it would overcome the devil and all of his minions and everyone like him. So this is what we hold on to. And this is what distinguishes us, the word of God, and what we serve there. Finally, it comes to this. We are the pen in his hand, one of my heroes in history, of course, Mother Teresa. But she always said, I am the pen in his hand. No one thinks of the pen while reading the letter, she says. They only want to know the mind of the person who wrote the letter. That's exactly what I am in God's hand, a little pencil. I'm the pen in God's hand, right? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This was the proclamation of John. His message was Jesus. And everything that we can do, everything that we do as Christians is behold the Lamb of God. Not behold Matt, not behold Tim or Ann, not behold Barb, not behold anyone else but Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the message. This is why we make such a big deal of it every year at Christmas time and Easter time and around year round. And so John goes on to, of course, John is recording us. He must become greater and I must become less. That's the motion of the message. But how important was the message for John that he needed to hear it too? And you see, this is the key point. John was lingering in prison. He was wondering perhaps, you know, what's going on here? Maybe he was uncomfortable with the possibility of things. I think John knew his end was coming, and maybe he was beginning to reflect a lot more on where he's been, and he needed a little encouragement. John was a human being. He wasn't a superhero. And so for John, the problem wasn't injustice, for he knew the kind of guy that Herod was. It wasn't that everyone who heard the word of God, heard him speak, didn't actually repent, perhaps. It wasn't his itchy outfit or his camel's hair outfit or his natural foods or his harsh diets or the conditions or the wilderness. Or was it? You ever get to a point once in a while and you ask yourself, is this worth it? That's a human condition. That's sin and doubt. Those things are normal and natural for a human being. And yet we know what Jesus says. Yes, of course. He quotes from Isaiah chapter 35 and says, listen to what you've seen and heard. Look at this. And I wonder if this guy who picks up the nails ever wonders, are they ever going to run out of nails? I wonder if we ourselves, am I ever going to be healthy again? Are my family members ever going to love another or believe the gospel at all? We wonder maybe about our money, marriage, communication, self-esteem, countless other things. It's the human condition. And so it's important, that message. It's not something we just proclaim. It's something we believe in and hold to and depend on, because in it we have not only our salvation, but our promise of eternal life. And there are a set of nails, by the way. And Jesus tells us this. He does the unexpected. He embraces the nails, doesn't he? He takes them in his hands and his feet. And, he fulfills that gospel. But you see, it's the nails that the miracles or the gifts that are given that ultimately come to us in Jesus. Jesus was replacing John's question mark when he spoke to, when he spoke about what he was doing. Go see and go tell him what you see and hear. The deaf hear, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed. These are all the signals of the Messiah. He's replacing that question mark with an exclamation mark. It is in fact who I am. And so it is for us as we come to it, the question mark is replaced. That's why we need the Word of God. That's why we need the promise and encouragement, because it replaces the question marks, and there are going to be many, with an exclamation mark. The one that matters, of course, is the cross of Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of John the Baptist and us. Behold, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the dead are raised, the deaf hear, the good news is preached to the poor. Behold, the one who took the nails in his hand. And so we have this here today, right? Now, I don't know if, where we started with Benedict Javakumar from Bangalore, India. I don't know if he's a Christian. Don't know. I have no idea. I've never found a signal that he was. He does end his story, his interviews, with God bless. I don't know, maybe that's a signal. Either way, how much more are we then to do such things as Christians, as people called to make a difference? How much more are we to know the Word of God and preach its truth? How much more are we to love and be real? How much more are we to serve and be humble? How much more are we to be least in the kingdom to do great things for Jesus? How much more? The nails will keep coming, and we know what we must do. Pick them up. We know that the needs are out there. We know that what Jesus has done for us, these are the opportunities that put an exclamation mark on the question marks of others. Is Jesus real? He is. And God willing, we will express that Savior in the things that we get to do as we distinguish ourselves from the world. And as Jesus says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen.
Thank you for listening this morning. We hope you have enjoyed this morning's message. If you have a desire to know more about our ministry at Grace Lutheran Church, or if you just want to comment about our radio program, we would love to hear from you. You can call us at 812-944-1267. You may also visit us on Facebook or at our website at glcna.org. We're located at 1787 Clinner Lane in New Albany, Indiana. We hope to hear from you soon. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you in His grace now and always.